I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Girl, What You Watching?
Yes, where we spill the tea on what we're currently watching on TV. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And I have pink hair today, oh, for those of you who aren't watching on video.
Scooped, gagged, fell over, died, came back to life.
I wish we recorded loving it.
I so wish we recorded it.
Oh, but yeah, something I've always wanted. I've always low-key just wanted pink hair once in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing it now. It's hella pink. It's intense. I'm trying to get used to it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But hello, summer 2024.
Oh my God, I love it. Put down how much you love it in the comments in Patreon.
Please, I need the validation, y'all. Yes. Thank you. Okay, today I am talking The Jinx Part 2. Do you know anything about The Jinx?
Monsoon?
No. Oh my God, Justine. No, not Drag Race. Not everything is connected back to Drag Race. Jesus.
No,
it's a crime. It's like a true crime docuseries on HBO. It was like a huge phenomenon like 10 years ago, and part two just came back out.
What? Oh, yeah, cool.
Ooh, I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be talking about that. Mm-hmm. And then I watched a new rom-com, romantic drama, I guess, called The Idea of You. It's with Anne Hathaway. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God, you watched this?
I did.
I was going to watch this and surprise you with it.
Oh,
I'm so happy that you watched it. Okay, great.
Yes, so watch that. Can chat about that.
Yeah.
What about you, friend? What are you watching?
Oh my God, in more crazy white people news, I watched Selling the OC the whole season.
What?
Yep.
I've never seen an ounce of that show.
Yeah.
What season is this?
This is season 3.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited. Yeah.
Nice. All right. So before we dive into our shows, we have the Met Gala to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We have more Kendrick and Drake. Goddamn.
I think it's finally done. But
I hope so.
Yeah.
This last weekend was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. It was like 7-8 songs. It was a whole EP, like a combined EP together.
Yes.
But we have more thoughts, so we'll be talking about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, obviously that Met Gala. Lots to chat about there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear our juicy pre-show, if you want to listen to this episode ad-free, if you want to watch us on video, if you want all that goodness, you got to join the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
On Patreon, we also drop a bonus reaction video every week. We are currently shooting live from my living room, watching The Never Ever Mets, which is a really crazy dating show on HBO, on Max. But yeah, for all this good stuff, head to patreon.com/number2blackgirls1rose. You could try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. And shout out to the Rose Garden. Okay, I can kick off with The Jinx Part 2.
Sure.
So you know nothing about this show. Okay, so The Jinx it was a huge phenomenon back in 2015. It was a 6-part docuseries, true crime docuseries on HBO.
Okay.
And it followed the story of Robert Durst, who was a New York real estate heir, like rich, like old money, rich. And he was accused of 3 murders and was running free.
Somehow
the filmmakers convinced him to sit for this documentary for him to tell his story.
Nice.
Which was a big mistake.
Yeah. Mr. Durst. Like BSI.
Yes.
Just sitting there just confessing.
Just giving your whole ass away.
Okay.
So the 3 murders, there was an unsolved murder or unsolved disappearance of his wife back in 1982.
Yeah.
Still unsolved. 1982. Wow. Then there was the execution style murder of his best friend, Susan Berman, in 2000, killed, shot in the back of the head.
What?
And then there was the murder and dismemberment of his neighbor, which he confessed to, claimed self-defense, and got acquitted.
No!
Girl, this man confessed to dismembering somebody and got off free. If you don't know what rich white man justice is, it is that right there.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Claim self-defense. Out of self-defense, you chopping up somebody who's dead? What do you mean?
They're gonna come after you? How do you need them?
Just insane.
Oh no. Who knows what he did with him? He's probably framed in his bathroom. He probably looks at him every morning.
I know. Oh my God. So yeah. So the Jinx part one was about that whole, you know, all 3 of those murders and him sitting in this documentary telling his side of the story, blase blah. And filmmakers kind of like unearthing different things and trying to find new evidence, basically. So the wife being missing is not enough evidence. So it's kind of just like they can't even do anything with it. The neighbor.
Damn, girl.
I know.
Shit.
She like vanished. She literally like vanished type of thing.
Yeah, and it's 80s. So you can
it's the 80s. They don't have anything. Exactly. Yeah. The neighbor who's already acquitted for. So, you know, he can't get charged again. The murder that everybody's focused on is the murder of his best friend, Susan.
Okay.
So what made the Jinx so just fucking like one of the best crime series, I think, ever. Is the final 2 episodes were like nuts. So episode 5. So Susan, after she was killed, the FBI the Beverly Hills like Sheriff's Department got an anonymous note in the mail that said like 123 like Court Street cadaver. So basically saying there's a dead body at her address, right? Yeah. And they put it in an envelope and shipped it to the Beverly Hills Police Department.
Wow.
Beverly was spelled wrong. Beverly is L-Y, but it was spelled L-E-Y. So just remember that. Distinct. Okay. And they can never trace where that note came from. Episode 5, Susan's stepson comes forward to the documentary filmmakers and says he found a letter that was sent from Robert Durst to, I think, Susan way back in the day. And he's like, you got to see this letter. Shows the filmmakers the letter and it's addressed to Beverly Hills. Beverly spelled the exact same way. And the handwriting is, I mean, basically the same. So the filmmakers in episode 5, it was either episode 5 or 6, they sit with Robert and they confront him with this letter that they found. And they were like, this looks, you know, very similar to the handwriting and it's spelled exactly the same as the other letter. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I wrote that one. I didn't write that one. I wrote this one because that's the letter to Susan, but I didn't write that cadaver one. And so the filmmakers then isolate and just put Beverly Hills and Beverly Hills and say, well, which one is it that you wrote? And the way he sat there, and he literally said, he's like, I can't tell them apart. So boom, right there, episode 5, they prove.
Yeah, he killed that lady.
He killed that lady. And this was new evidence that the police didn't even have. So That's why the Jinx was like crazy, because they were literally finding new shit. Yeah. And then we were watching it on HBO at the same time. So, girl, it gets worse.
What?
So that was...
It's insane. God. Okay.
So that was... I think that's how episode 5 like ends or something. Episode 6. Finale of the series. I distinctly remember watching this at home. Girl, the last 2 minutes of the docuseries is like mind-blowing. So they wrap the interview with Robert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he is like, oh, where's the bathroom? So they're breaking down the cameras or whatever. He still has his microphone on.
Nope.
And he's like, oh, where's the bathroom? And he's like this old little frail old man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they point him to the bathroom, and he goes into the bathroom. And while he's in the bathroom, he's like mumbling. He's like talking to himself, like mumbling to himself. And he says, I'm caught.
No.
Yes. You hear it on, you hear it clear as day on the audio, girl. He says, I'm caught. Then he says, and again, he's mumbling, washing his hands, like he's just, he doesn't think he's being recorded. He forgets he has the mic on. He's just doing him, washing his hands, talking to himself. And he says, you know, what the hell did I do? Killed them all, of course. And then the documentary fades to black. And that's how it fucking ends. Just, it's insane. Like, that you watch that live. Like, I remember watching it live. And I was like, and as you're watching, he's free. He's not behind
bars.
He's
about to just go take an Uber black home.
Right.
Just,
oh my God. So, what happened in real time, right after it aired on HBO, he started to flee.
Of course. Of course. Yep.
And he was arrested, I think, like 2 days later. Pretty much based on this, like literally the police are watching the same documentary as me and you.
Right.
So they're seeing all the new evidence. They picked him up, I think like 2 days later in New Orleans with a duffel bag full of money and a map of Cuba.
Damn. I do the same thing, my nigga. I do the same thing. Give me one last po' boy and a beignet and get out of there.
Get the hell out of here.
That is not crazy, funny, but it is.
But it's like
so regular. Like,
so regular.
Yeah, my last stop in America has got to be New Orleans. Yeah. And then I'm out.
Stop by, got some char-grilled and oysters. Be out. That would be my last stop.
Right? Honestly. Paying cash.
Yup. Keep it pushing. Oh my God. So it was crazy.
And you know why that's even funnier too? Because there's no logic, because New Orleans has some of the worst maximum security prisons. Louisiana, the worst.
Bruh. Like, why are you trying to get caught there? Oh, I don't want to touch that. They got one of the most corrupt police departments in the nation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Wow. So yeah, the first series was like such a huge thing because of how that fucking, like, no documentary series has ever like ended like that. And then it played out in real time. Like, after it aired, we were all watching the news and listening, because he got picked up and then the whole trial began and all of that.
I have a question for anybody listening, watching in a legal capacity. After you film a documentary and you have evidence like that, that is solid as a rock, okay? Are you, like, is there a due process in which you're supposed to turn that over to the police before the documentary airs on HBO? Or are you just, like, is it just, like, free speech?
Yeah. I'm assuming, I could get my timelines all right. I'm assuming the cops... Maybe they, no, because they picked them up after it aired.
After, yeah. And he ran after it aired. He didn't run after he filmed it.
After he filmed it, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, in terms of the ethics and the morality of the filmmakers, I don't really know.
And legally, even.
And,
like,
legally,
are
too.
Are you supposed to, like, if you have evidence in a case like that that's still open and it's a murder, aren't you supposed to turn it in?
Submit
or maybe
it.
You don't have a, maybe that's not a thing. But I would love to know if it's a thing.
Yeah, please email. Let us know. I'm not sure. So we're now almost, I think, like 8 years later. Now they're coming with part two.
Okay.
Part two basically follows the trial.
Okay.
as you can, I mean, this is spoiler alert if you don't want to know whatever, but he's in jail now. So that's the thing.
Good. Okay.
So part two is going to cover basically how that happened. And they pick up pretty much when he gets picked up by the police and he's being interviewed by police. And literally their first question is, why did you do that documentary?
How badly did you want to see yourself on TV?
Right. How up your own ass and narcissistic are you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're here now pretty much because of that.
You could have just died rich.
You could have just died rich and have murdered three people and got away with it. You already got away with one. And he just sat there I'm still asking myself that now.
Oh my God. That's the thing with these sick ass narcissists. Public anything is good. What's going to get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just eat it up. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
They really love it. Part two, there's been three episodes so far and they've been mostly focused on all of his enablers and accomplices. He has a wife, he has a girlfriend, and he has a bunch of friends, and then his friends.
Wait, he got a wife and a girlfriend at the same time?
He got a wife and a girlfriend, girl. A wife and a girlfriend. And a bunch of friends who are just leeches. They hang on to him because he's rich as shit.
Yeah.
And he's a very generous guy. He's helped this guy with this business, helped that guy with that business. So they kind of just always stay close to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you see in the first three episodes, he is constantly calling people from prison, calling up these friends, trying to see who he can keep close. Who's in his pocket. And also just for emotional support as well. He just wants to talk to people. I don't fucking know.
I was going to say, he probably needs a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Somebody this narcissistic probably needs a lot of emotional support.
He, after the acquittal from the dismemberment, one of the jurors befriended him.
Girl,
the way that people are so evil and opportunistic when they see dollar signs.
Yeah.
So it was actually that juror and his wife who were the ones that I believe brought him the bag of money and the map to Cuba. And they're interviewing the prosecution, all these people, and they're never in my 58 years of law enforcement have I ever seen a juror and a defendant become friends.
Yeah. Especially one who got away with murder.
Especially
murder is
murder. God. Oh my God. So they're kind of unearthing some new evidence. They're showing how the prosecution pieced their case together because now he's sitting behind bars. And there was a theory that Susan, so this is the murder of Susan, right? The best friend.
Mm-hmm.
There's a theory that Susan knew about the murder of the wife. And turns out the day that the wife went missing, she was a medical school student. Mm-hmm. She called her med school dean to tell them that she was going to miss school. They are proposing that it was Susan who actually made that phone call. Which means she knew about the murder
She was an accomplice.
She was an accomplice. And then she got murked because she knew too much.
Yep.
Basically. So they put the dean of students up on the stand who confirmed that he did get a phone call, but he cannot say for sure that it was the wife.
Right.
And
this was in 1980 somebody? 1980 remembers?
Something. Exactly. Yeah. And then they find this phone call between Susan was a piece of shit, honestly, as well.
Oh, yeah. His best friend.
Best friend. She was in cahoots about the whole murder. They found this phone call that she placed to this journalist friend of hers right after the wife went missing. Mm-hmm. And basically in the phone call, Susan is talking to this journalist and she's like, so-and-so just went missing. And it's a weird phone call because the entire phone call, she's basically testing out a bunch of different theories of what could have happened to her. And she's getting the journalist's perspective as to whether... Is that
Which is believable.
Which is... Right. So she kind of throws out different things, almost like she's trying to frame it as if my friend is missing. Like, maybe she's here, maybe she's there.
Yeah, right.
But she's really, you could hear her. She's like testing out different theories. And the one theory she threw out was like, well, she, you know, I think she was wearing her diamond earrings that day, when she, you know, that night. Mm-hmm. And the journalist is like, oh, well, maybe she got mugged. And then, mm-hmm. and she's like, yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, that's what. And that, mm-hmm. that was the story that the press, somehow someone in the press knew, yeah, and they ran with that story.
Press knew, yeah.
Exactly. So Susan won shit. And then they dig up another friend, a really good friend of Susan Ann Roberts, who has been evading police for decades, obviously. Mm-hmm. But his wife has been working with the police on the side. It was crazy.
I love it. Yes.
His wife was like, I always knew he murdered that bitch, and he won't say nothing, and I know he knows, and he won't listen to me, so I'm gonna start talking to them. So she was talking to them, and they eventually convinced him to come forward. And he shares a story that years ago, Robert took him out to dinner at Barrel Wine in Harlem, which they showed.
I was like, what? A lot of this happens uptown.
Uptown.
A lot of stuff happens at Rao's in the Bronx. Uh-huh. There's a lot of stuff happens in Arthur's mm-hmm. in the Bronx. A lot of stuff happens up in Harlem. And
I was like, Barrel Wine.
Yeah.
So Robert took him out to dinner at Barrel Wine, told him, I want to discuss Susan and Kathy. That was the wife's name mm-hmm. with you. They have dinner. They don't talk about it. They leave. And the friend goes, you know, you wanted to talk about Susan and Kathy. What did you want to say? And the friend alleges that Robert said to him, I had to take care of Susan. It was her or me. Mm. And then kind of walked away. So he got up on the stand and testified that.
Wow.
This and that is was like so his best friend.
Interesting.
Oh my God, it's nuts.
So interesting because he had to, at points he had to recognize, damn, this is human life and I ended somebody's life. So I had mm-hmm. to tell someone.
Yes, right. Like, wow. You're not just going to sit with that, but you cannot just sit with that by yourself unless you're like a mm-mm. diabolical serial killer. But even serial killers be telling people.
Even them. Yeah, they tell
They be
people.
Sending in little weird cryptic shit to the fucking police and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. even they be telling somebody because they cannot wait to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's not unbelievable that he told this dude this. Mm. But of course, he got up on the stand. The defense poked all kind of holes. I mean, he has the best defense team, like, ever. They really are working. I'm like, fuck. They keep finding holes everywhere. And I'm like, no, it was supposed to be buttoned up. No, it's not. Yeah. So that's where I ended. I think there's like three more episodes. We already know how it ends. So obviously the prosecution wins. He's in jail right now. But girl, it's crazy. This is one of the, just the craziest story of white, rich, elite justice and how this man, he's now in his like 70s, he looks old as hell, 70s, 80s. He is now just now facing serving. Justice for three different murders that he got off scot-free, and it's really hard to get him in because he can afford the best defense team in the freaking country. It's like infuriating. It's also kind of comical because he's just so like, how is this person this like dumb and he talks so much. He just, every phone call he makes from jail is recorded. And they pull it up at, like, some things have been used against him already in court. He just talks so much, which is just the craziest part. But, yeah, that's the jinx, friend.
Wow.
Nuts.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't believe I haven't heard of this.
Yeah. Let me know in the comments if you're watching what you think. Yeah. If I got anything wrong. But it's a good one. If you're looking for a good true crime, I definitely recommend, even though I gave away the whole thing, I definitely recommend going back and watching. It's so good. It's such great storytelling. And then we'll see how this second part, so far it's pretty good. So
wow.
All right, you talk now. God,
I know you need a break. Okay, so Selling the OC.
Oh yes,
if you guys don't already know, this is the two Oppenheimer brothers, Jason and the other one, own the Oppenheim group. They have a couple in California and then they have one in Cancun, And I think the Tampa one was like a brother sister company. I don't know if that was owned by the Oppenheim Group.
Okay.
But these are the people in Orange County, which is the worst. We know Orange County is rough, extremely Republican.
Yeah.
Like a rough crowd. So I didn't watch the first two seasons because they were so fucking boring. So boring. Oh my God.
Yeah, I had no interest. I feel like I tried watching. I maybe watched one or two episodes of the first season, I think. But I can't remember any of it. So
yeah. Yeah. It was just whack. But this season, I heard there was gay panic. And so I had to watch. Yeah, girl. Yes.
Oh, God.
So we have Kayla, Alexandra, Brandy, Polly, Alex, Hall. They call her Hall. Gio, Alexandra Rose, Tyler, Austin, Sean, and Allie. Those are all the people. So they all got the same name, girl. So
yeah, I was like, Alexa, 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 and Alexa. Okay.
So Brandy, Kayla, and Sean, all people of color, which is wild that the OC has more people of color than Selling Sunset does.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Sean is an openly bisexual man.
Sean.
He's cute. They're all, you know, they're all cute. Who's making big claims about Austin. Now, Austin, he's the one that I want you to look up what he looks like, because he looks like Christian Cavallari would tear his ass up.
Okay.
Yeah. He also kind of looks like AI, kind of looks like he's manufactured.
Yeah.
And he has a wife and two kids.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So we have Sean, bisexual man, single, and Austin, married, two kids.
Two kids, yep.
Sean is making claims all around the office that he was drugged and propositioned by Austin and his wife for a threesome.
Drugged?
Yes, yeah, not, you know, weed. So he's saying drugged.
Drugged. Like, what? You got high and they y'all suck some bullshit?
Mean? Right.
Oh my God. So by the husband and wife.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So he's
hiring for your small business. If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me. It's been really stressed me out. I'm not even gonna lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. Yeah. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help, from eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family. Therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/2BG1R. Making these claims, they used to be very good friends. There's all kinds of pictures of them like hugged up together at the pool, wherever.
See.
Yeah. So he's making these claims that they're having, that he was propositioned for a threesome. He's telling everybody in the office. So Austin gets mad and he's like, you can talk about me, but don't talk about my wife. Don't talk about my family and shit.
Yeah.
So they got into it at the office in the backyard by the koi pond or whatever the hell. And they get, it gets physical. Austin pushing Sean on the shoulder.
Oh boy.
And he's like, don't talk about my family like that. And Sean is like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes, just like that.
Yeah, just like that. So there's gay panic, right? Mm. Of like, you wanted to fuck me, a man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and have your wife watch or whatever the hell y'all are into.
Yeah.
He said, you know, he said, you and your wife are experimenting. You told me you guys are like looking to find a third. All of these things, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Not a whole lot of evidence, though.
And why is he telling this on TV, in the office, in front of everybody? Like, why is it public now?
So here's the other part about it. Sean don't sell no houses.
Well, here we go. Trying to cement his place in reality TV fame and fortune.
Yep.
Oh, God.
So while I hate to not believe the bisexual man of color in this story, it was rough. Those first couple episodes, I was like, you're just spreading rumors. I don't see you going to an open house. I don't see you hosting nothing. I don't see you even on the phone.
Selling
like,
no houses.
I don't see you doing anything.
Right.
So it was rough in the beginning. I was like, I don't know about this. And he's making claims that Austin compliments him all the time. And Austin's like, we work out together. I said you had nice legs. It is what it is.
That's that. Yeah.
So that's kind of like baiting. That's almost like, you know.
Now you can't say nothing. Because now you're going to twist it and use it against me. Right. On TV. Coincidentally, as the cameras are rolling, like the
your
fuck
bisexuality against me to make me look what?
Yeah,
crazy.
Oh, jeez.
So the season keeps going. We also have a little bit of drama going on with Alex Hall and Tyler.
Okay.
Tyler is 34. Alex Hall, I'm not sure how old she is. The women are very foggy how old they are. They all look like they're 48 or 22. Very odd.
Oh, my God.
But we know that Tyler's 34.
Alex, I've seen her before.
Yeah, yeah. She's one of the like she goes on the podcast rounds.
Yeah. She's like the Chrishell. Is she the star, kind of? No? Okay. She's the most visible to me. I've seen her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I recognize. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she is. Maybe she was, Chrishell. I don't know. I didn't watch the last two seasons, so maybe she was.
Mm-hmm.
She kissed Tyler in the hot tub last year. And that was their whole storyline for all 8 episodes.
Oh, my God.
She was like, I don't know. You know, we were friends. And now, you know, I don't know what happened. Meanwhile, when they kissed in the hot tub, he was merely separated from his wife.
I see.
His wife, who is very, very, very white famous.
Very famous, yeah.
Brittany Snow.
Yeah.
Who I want to say was in Pitch Perfect. Don't know though for sure.
Yeah, but you know,
but some, you know,
those. Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
God,
she had an interview with Call Her Daddy, which because I watched this whole season a week and I did not have the chance to listen to as well. Mm-hmm. But she was on there just singing like a canary. Singing. On this nigga. She don't care. Yep.
Oh my God, he's very cute.
He's very
looks tall. Yeah,
he is very tall.
Wait, so did they capture this makeout?
They did.
They did. Okay. That's my next thing. I'm like, this sounds like an off the camera type of foolishness that I'm not trying to watch.
I know.
Them fight about something that happened off camera that we ain't see.
Yeah.
But okay. Nice.
So Alex Hall is claiming that she is, you know, she has unfinished business with Tyler, but that she wants an alpha male. She said that out of her face.
She wants an alpha male. So she comes. Shots fired.
Tyler. At
Tyler.
Geez.
Okay.
So she starts dating a global marketing manager at TikTok.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's
sounds
global.
Like a good job.
It's a great job.
It's a good executive position.
So he's flying her out to London, Italy, all the places. So she's jet setting, but she's like sitting at dinner with Tyler and she says, things are just unfinished with you. I don't know if I can go to Italy. I was like, what?
What? Go to Italy with who? Tyler?
With the global TikTok director. I was like, you're going to give up an 11-day trip free to Italy for simple musings with this nigga here who you work with, who you see every day anyway?
And it's not going to be a thing. Like, this is not going to turn into anything.
No. Because she's divorced with kids. Okay. And he has no kids.
Okay, and he's just recently divorced himself.
Just divorced.
No, he's out here about to be in these streets, having fun. He ain't trying to become nobody's stepdaddy overnight.
Nope. And after they kissed, he went to Fiji. Oh. Didn't tell her.
God, these lives, man. Can I just hop on a trip to Fiji? Somebody want to fly me out to Fiji and to Italy?
It's like, shit. I can't. Anyway, it's coming. You know what? I'm just going to say it's coming soon. I do enough of claiming other things. So they're going back and forth all season long with like this tension that we think is supposed to be there. I don't feel a dollop of Daisy, okay? But it's allegedly supposed to be there. Yeah. And at the end, she does not go to Italy. And I felt the same way when Lauren didn't go to Paris and still chose to stay with Jason.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's what it was giving. Yep. Damn. Mm-hmm. That is so whack. And where's is he? She's not going to be with him. Where is he?
Girl, first of all, he don't even work for the Oppenheim Group no more. He quit.
He's quitting and avoiding her. Oh, God. It's because it's messy.
It's messy.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, and at the season finale, they go to a horse racing event, and Sean is there. So since the physical altercation with Austin, Sean has not been in the office because he hasn't felt safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he comes to this horse racing event and starts talking shit to Tyler and shows paragraph-long text that Tyler is sending him. And also claiming that Tyler wants to get in them cheeks, too.
Wait, what?
Yes, girl. Yes. Mess. This is mess.
Wait.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yes, my girl. God.
It's crazy. Yeah. I was like, does he have them confused?
This is... Nope. I can't.
Yeah. Yep.
So Tyler left because this is just way too messy.
Because this is crazy. Yeah.
This is crazy. And Sean is, what's his name? Sean? Sean is just unhinged at that.
Yeah.
And needs to sell a house.
And Sean needs to sell a house. You know what's so unfortunate too is that Sean's the only minority man, but the other two girls of color, they do great. Kayla and Brandy, they do amazing. Kayla had the biggest sale or the biggest listing in like Oppenheim history, O group history or whatever. So that's how her season started, which is amazing. And then Brandy has a coach who's a husband for a lot of athletes, so she sells athletes' houses.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good little lane.
Yeah. She knew all about it. She was like, oh, they're athletes and they go from city to city, so they rent their stuff out to their friends. Like, she knew all the details about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And in her storyline, they gave a house to an athlete, or gave a house for an athlete to one of the white girls.
Mm.
And at the end of the season, she had to help the white girl list it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I was like, this is too triggering. I don't know if I can be in here for season four. I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So they all talking to the minorities crazy for all different ways, but Sean is like drawing a lot of attention to himself.
It's just not a good look. There's not that many bisexual men on TV, he's the one of them. And you looking like this. This is not a good look.
No.
Damn.
And it's just not a good look, I think, even for like male friendship. Like, he texted that you, too. Love you, bro, or like, love you, man. And he was like, see, you said
see, he's trying to get in them cheeks. What? What are you talking about? Chill out.
And
whilst
sending a text that's that long detailing out somebody else's business is weird.
Weird.
That is very odd behavior.
Sure.
I just don't know if it warrants all of the drama that Sean was bringing. So
Trying to create. Yeah.
It's really hard for me to like believe Sean. Yeah. It's really easy for me to believe that they're all bisexual and they all want to fuck each other. That's very
Maybe. Yeah.
But Sean and pointing fingers like that. And then not selling houses on top of it?
On top of that.
It was so sad. I was like, oh, Sean, no.
Yeah.
Sean, no.
Exactly. The fact that you're not selling houses, which is kind of the point of this show. I get it. Mm-hmm. There's like other workplace drama, whatever. But then you're, let's say my husband and I did proposition you.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing it on camera? Why are you bringing this on camera?
Mm-hmm.
You're not selling houses, so you have nothing else to do.
Exactly.
But you're doing it at the expense of me and my family.
Right.
So now we're going to fight. Now you're going to have to throw some bows.
That's like, what Austin said. Yeah. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, I get it.
So that was That was just unfortunate to watch. It was just like, damn, this is the gay panic that was going on.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that, because I don't think I'll be watching that show.
Yeah, that's fine. I fell asleep four times at the very end, because after the fight happens like episode 3. Oh, I recommend.
Okay. That tune in for that episode. Yeah. Just like, okay. Oh, nice. Okay. I have, this is the last one, right? You have any?
Yeah.
No, just, okay.
No, I watched Martha's Vineyard, but nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing really. Yeah. So The Idea of You, new romantic drama on, okay. I think I watched it on Amazon Prime.
I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Starring Anne Hathaway. It's based on a novel by, her name is Robin Lee. Mm-hmm. She's a Black woman. She was one of the sisters from do you remember Deliver Us from Eva?
Yeah.
She's one of the sisters.
What?
Former actress, now novelist. And now her fucking books are getting turned into movies.
You're right. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I looked her up. I was like, oh, shit, I remember her. But you haven't really seen her acting much, but she's been writing. She has a whole other career. So
fabulous.
But yeah, it's a story about a love affair between like this single mom and a lead singer of a boy band. So very like, you know,
fashioned after, it seems, Harry Styles.
Oh,
that's what the streets are saying.
The band maybe gives One Direction.
Yeah.
A little older though, because One Direction, they were really young when they first came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these guys are in their like mid-20s, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, because Harry Styles, he always dates somebody a little older too.
He does. Yeah. Like Kate Beckinsale.
Okay, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it's cute. Anne Hathaway looks great. I don't know what work she got done. It's subtle.
And
me and Nate were like studying her face. Nate's like, so what work is this? What's this? And I was like, I honestly don't know. It's like, I think a little filler in her top lip. Her lip looks a little bigger. But
okay.
Otherwise, her face looked very like, she looked like she's aging great, even though I know there's some work.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see her, because I haven't really seen her in anything in a very long time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But loved her haircut, and her fashion throughout the whole movie was so great. I don't know who did the wardrobe for this movie, but she looked great. She looked like a very fashionable single mom the whole movie. And the guy she plays opposite, I don't know him, but he's very good looking. And he was a believable, I think, like pop star.
Oh, okay.
He's supposed to be 24 in the movie, and she's 40.
Oh, wow. Boy. Okay.
So she's a divorced single mom. So her husband, I won't give away the whole thing, but because I want y'all to watch it. But her husband left her. He has a new wife now, and they share custody of their teenage daughter, who used to be like a huge fan of this band. Right?
Yeah, of course she was. Yeah,
of course. And so the movie kind of kicks off. Her husband was supposed to take the daughter and the friends to Coachella. And he dropped the ball. He can't take her, so she has to take them. So she accompanies the daughter and the friend to Coachella, and she kind of like meets him very randomly. Like it was a cute little way how the little meet cute was cute.
Oh, okay.
And he, you know, love at first sight type of thing. Like tracks her down. She's a she owns a gallery. She's a gallery owner. Whatever.
Got it. Okay.
Which is why she's like fashionable. She's like fashion. Arts,
yes.
Artsy.
That's what people were saying. People were like, she's way too fabulous to be this like single.
She's very fab.
Like, okay.
Yeah, but she owns a gallery, so you can kind of like see. And yeah, he tracks her down to, you know, buy some art, quote unquote, and then their love affair ensues. And it was cute. I won't give anything else away besides that. But I thought the music was pretty good too. Sometimes it's rough.
Oh,
when there's a band, like a fictional artist or whatever, that could be very hit or miss. But they had some bops. It was like it was like cheesy pop boy band.
Yeah,
I was bopping. So that was bad. And then the guy, this I wanted to look up if he does his own singing, because he has a pretty nice voice, and I think he does. Unless they found something. I don't know. It just seemed like that voice was coming out of that body. I'm not sure.
Okay. But yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it was cute. I recommend. Yeah. It was an easy watch, obviously. It's a pretty watch because two pretty people in pretty fashion and cute little story. And yeah, the writer is Black. So go support Black art.
Oh, that's great. Black art.
Black storytellers, yeah, you know, black yeah. filmmakers, whatever. But yeah, that was the idea of You.
Wow. Yeah. I'm excited. The one review that I saw that people were saying is the most accurate is somebody said, this is what I thought would happen to me when I shaved my pussy for the first time and went to a One Direction concert.
I saw that.
I saw that. And people were like, exactly. Go see it.
You put on your best clothes, your best outfit, you get your hair done, you get your lashes done, you get your whole thing, because you swear.
You just knew Omarion was going to pick you out of the crowd.
You just knew Usher was going to bring you on stage and lap dance you. Like, oh my God. Oh, even the way she met him is very cute, but it's like, this does not happen. Like, we wish. It really captures on that, like, anticipate that, I don't know, just like aspiration of like, oh my God, if I go to a concert and I meet my favorite pop stars, this is how it would happen. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this is a movie for a reason. Like, yes. It's not happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a cute one. It's hard, as I said before, it's hard to find a rom-com these days. It's hard to find a cute little rom-drom even.
Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway, I haven't seen her act in shit for a minute, so mm-hmm. might as well turn. She's just been like, she's been doing a lot of campaigns, walking red carpets and Bulgari and like diamonds and like, I don't know. It's interesting how her career went that way, like into modeling kind of. Like
almost. Right? Yeah. Yeah. But she's gorgeous. So it kind of makes sense. It's probably easier than acting. Mm.
I feel like she's aged very well. She looks almost more beautiful now than she's ever in her life. So
what is the list? Because I know there's a list of fillers that she's getting.
And
the face map. Like, I just want to see the map. How they're mapping out where the wrinkles are coming. How they're filling them in.
Yeah.
You know, what's like sagging so they can lift it up. Yeah.
Her face, like, she looked great. Because sometimes it's hard to watch a show with, like, an older star or whatever. Like, what's her face? I mean, this is probably one of the worst, but
like Kristen Davis.
Yes, Kristen Davis, and just like that, distracting. It's so bad. Her face. Yeah,
she just dissolved it.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, she just dissolved everything. She looks so much better.
Oh my, of course. Mm-hmm. She looked nuts.
Yeah, like, she did. Yeah, she looked like so puffy, like something was going
very
on.
Very puffy. Like, she had got stung in the face by a bee and she's allergic. Yeah. That's what mm-hmm. it looked like. So sometimes it's distracting, you know, watch because they go overboard, but mm-hmm. with Anne, I was just like, huh, she looks great. Like, I kept trying to, like,
because she's 40 something years old.
She's in her 40s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, she just looks great. I'm like trying to like piece together what the subtle work was and just wasn't distracted. I could watch the movie, you know.
Yeah.
So that I appreciate. So yeah, that was it.
Nice.
Martha's Vineyard, anything.
Oh my God. You know what, Simon's causing chaos, which was fun.
Oh
my God, I loved it. I was like, finally.
Oh
yes,
God.
Put on the suit, dance around.
He's so annoying. I don't know how she dates that person.
I don't know how those two annoying people even stay in a house together. I see why Milo tears up the whole house, peeing everywhere, shits all over the place. He hates his owners.
He hates his owners so bad. But yeah, it's just so cringe. He needs attention. He can't not have the attention. And when they did the flashback to last year when he like jumped in the pool in the mm-hmm. middle of the party, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, you're just like so thirsty for all eyes to be on you constantly. It's a bad quality in a man. Like,
we talk about it all the time, how we're like, what kind of personality is supposed to mesh with that guy who wants attention like
constantly.
That?
Constantly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that I guess happened. Mm-hmm. And
still talking about laundry from last year.
My God, they are.
And then Nick's girlfriend came. He was very upset. Oh, yeah. No one texted him good luck about his 5K. After you ran 10 marathons, I wouldn't text you good luck either.
Nicholas. I didn't think you really cared.
No.
But sure. And then, yeah, him trying to get everybody to clean up the house before everybody's face is looking at him like, Just because your girlfriend that you care about today shows up today. Now, I gotta scrub the toilets, boy. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Mm-mm. Yeah. His girlfriend's cute. It's sad that she dogs her like that.
I know.
So sad.
I know. Touching everybody in the house and shit.
Touching everybody, embarrassing her. She's watching this back. Like you are embarrassing. Like she's way too cute for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
I agree. But it. I can't believe it will be interesting, this reunion. I'm like, what are they gonna go over?
Yeah. Unless new stuff happens in between that they can bring up.
Maybe. Yeah. Yes. Maybe.
Like drama happening in real time.
In real time. Like Jordan and the doorman and the making out and the who made out in front of her doorman type of thing. Like those little stories. Maybe we'll get some more of that.
I hope so.
I think it'll help the season. I think it'll be like selling the OC. And then season 3, they'll have like some big thing happen and then it'll be great.
Yeah,
it'll be a great show after that.
I hope so. Yeah, they need their like Summer House Vanderpump moment, some crazy drama scandal, something
involving all of them.
Yeah. And yeah, that's it. I think next week Amir's girlfriend's gonna start some drama. See, they gotta get her in the house.
I know.
You see the preview
from day one? No, yeah. I didn't see it. What
she's
happened?
Pulling aside Nick's girlfriend. I think it's Nick's girlfriend. Yeah, to tell him what's been happening or something like that.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah.
Somehow she's getting involved in some type of drama. And I'm like, see, that's why she's supposed to be in this house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that's it, guys. I
think so.
That's it. Nice short episode. Join Patreon if you want the pre-show. That was most of the episode. The Met Gala.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Wait, did you watch White Summer House?
Last week. Did I? Yes. I think I'm caught up.
What happened?
What happened last week? Carl. Oh, yeah.
And that bridal shower.
The bridal shower. Lindsay's bridal shower happened. Yeah. Carl had to tell Lindsay. Well, he got advice basically from Kyle and Amanda, who are like, everything's going to air.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably should get ahead of it and tell her about the conversation you had with your mom and your stepdad, where they told you they don't advise y'all to get married. Yep. So he sat down with Lindsay and told her what they said. And she had to basically still go to her bridal shower, face her mother-in-law.
With his mom.
And try to act like everything's okay. It was the one time I felt bad for Lindsay. I felt bad for her too.
Yeah,
I felt for her in this because that really sucks, particularly because she already has mom issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a relationship with her mom. And she's excited by having a mother-in-law and another mother figure, and already your husband and the mama are like ganged up against you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like not even a safe space as you was hoping it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just sucks. Like knowing that's how your mother-in-law already thinks about you.
Yeah.
But I felt bad for her for a second, but then, I mean, the mom feels the way she does, the mom and the stepmom, because of the accusations. You called my son a coke. You told him he was on coke on camera when he's sober and struggling with his sobriety. That's nuts. No, I don't want you to marry him.
And she's not sober at all, right? She's like out here drinking at the function.
Turned all the way up. Yeah. Yeah.
She needs to be at the meetings with him. She needs to be like really supportive. He's brand new to the sobriety shit.
Exactly. They're just a couple that should have never gotten together. It's just the minute they said they were dating, it was like everybody was like, this is a train. This is going to end in disaster.
It sure did.
And it's because it's Lindsay. Every relationship we've seen has ended in catastrophe. So how Carl thought this would be any different and you decide to do this whilst going sober, it just makes no sense. And it's ending as we all thought it would end. So
yeah.
A mess.
Also, Carl got a type. He went for his type. When they flash back to his ex, I was like, oh.
Blondes.
Okay.
Yeah. Blondes with big personalities. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that happened. That was the biggest thing. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. I don't think anything.
Yeah. Kyle and Amanda.
Paige and Craig had like a picnic.
Paige and Craig had a picnic. about
their future.
Yeah, it's, same old same. He wants to get married. She ain't ready yet. So he's just trying to figure out when she's going to be ready. But she's moving at her own pace and he's along for the ride. You can keep talking about it, but he ain't going nowhere. So whatever. Right. Trying to think. Sierra and West. They're cute still.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're nice. It's nice.
Nothing new.
The reunion chart came out. Did you see?
Oh, no. It did?
Oh, Miss Ma'am. Yes, the reunion chart came out.
Oh.
So we have Andy in the center, right? And then we have Carl and Lindsay on opposite sides.
Oh,
left
fuck.
And right. Sitting right next to Big Boss.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
At the very ends, at the very, very end of this very, very long table, this is, the cast is huge.
Mm-hmm.
We got Gabby at the bottom right, so she's got the worst seat in the house.
Yeah.
And then we have, who is
Danielle?
The one at the bottom? Danielle.
Yeah.
Yep.
They not earning they keep, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. But yeah, that's Summer House. But anyways, that's it, guys.
Yeah.
Rate, review, subscribe, join us on Patreon for all the goodness, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.